Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Hello, His Tabernacle Family Church. Good morning. Are we ready to praise and worship God this morning? It's Friend Sunday. Did you all bring a friend? The Holy Spirit doesn't count. I hope everybody brought a friend today. After this service, we can have an ice cream social out in the foyer. It's going to be awesome. But right now, we're just going to give our full attention to Jesus. How does that sound? Amen. All right, we're just going to pray and get right into it. Father, I thank you for being our best friend, God. I thank you that we can rely on your Holy Spirit at any time, whether it be right when we wake up or right when we go to bed in the middle of the night. Lord, you are always there when we call on you, and you're there to give us abundant life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Abundantly all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Hallelujah. I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive in you. I've got the best life now. Living the blessed life now. I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive in you. I've got the best life now. Living the blessed life now. I've got the best life now.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that through every single battle that we go through, we see the victory. We know that you have already overcome, and so we just have to follow you and trust in you. Do you believe with me? If you believe that you will see the victory, shout an amen to Jesus today. Yes. Just give him the praise. Give him your worship, your time right now. Tell him how much you love him. You're not here for anybody else but Jesus.
The weapon may be formed, but it will prosper. 'Cause when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. In every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giant.
You turn it.
take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. And turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. And turn it for good.
Sing it to Jesus.
Glory to the God who changed my life.
Come on. Come on, sing. Jesus.
I'll give you glory because I am.
Jesus, we honor you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, our hearts are just so thankful today that we woke up. Our hearts are thankful that today, God, we have a voice to praise and to give you honor. We thank you so much for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, when we didn't care about you, you came after us. Thank you so much, Lord. You saw how bad we were. You saw how evil. But Lord, you didn't care. You saw what you wanted us to be. And today, as we had confessed you as our Savior, today we know beyond a shadow of a doubt we're going to see you face to face. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We sing hallelujah because, God, we got a reason to. You changed our lives. Thank you for changing us, Jesus. Lord, I pray for those that are in the room watching by live stream right now that, Lord, don't know you. They're struggling in their relationship with you. God, they're questioning things. I just pray in Jesus' name that, God, you give them an experience that only you can. God, we want you to have all the glory. We don't want any of your glory. But that means, Father, you need to show up in strength and in power and touch us in a way that no man can, no religious can, but only Jesus. So, Lord, we look to you and we just say, Holy Spirit, change our lives. Show yourself powerful. Someone's right knee on the outside going down the leg about 6 inches. God is healing you right now. If you start moving that, it's just about knee and down about 6 inches. It goes down that whole length. It's just painful. Father, in Jesus' name, I command right now the pain to go for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you that this morning there are folks that are struggling, God, in their intestines. And I speak right now to the intestines, and I curse right now sickness and disease. You have no right in the child of God. And I curse it, and I command it to come out right now. Father, I pray and declare that they'll be able to eat whatever they want to eat. There'll be no more trouble. There'll be no more problems for the glory of God. Jesus, we just honor you. We honor you, God. Peace. 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 Yeah. Someone's having numbness in your right hand near your thumb area. God is healing you now in Jesus' name. Love your presence. Father, there's no place we'd rather be than where you are. You actually bring satisfaction to our soul. Hallelujah. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, there are many here that aren't filled, and I ask in Jesus' name that even as they're standing and worshiping you, that they'll get filled with the Spirit. Even as they're standing, I release the anointing. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Thank
Just start praying right out in tongues right there, right where you are. You'll be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah.
God, we know that your church is supernatural. It's not a building. It is a body. Thank you, Lord, for the structure you have put in your body to strengthen us, especially in these last days. And I pray, Father, that each one of us will become part of the structure. I speak to those that have been wounded in your heart from past church experiences, and I declare in the name of Jesus that the one who heals the brokenhearted, the one who turns the cynic into one who truly loves people, I command that cynicism to switch. In Jesus' name. Just love your people, Jesus. I love you. Can you tell them this morning you love them? Just talk to them. Just tell them you love them this morning. Listen, your day's going to be busy enough. We already know the Bills are going to lose anyways. It doesn't matter. Just kidding. Don't get out of the Spirit. Isn't it amazing to be part of God's house? I love being part of God's house. I love the people of God. You know, you might not even know the person next to you, or you might not like them. But what are you going to do when you got to spend eternity with them? Are you going to avoid them in heaven? Some of you are struggling desperately, and I want you to know that today your Father knows your very moments. He knows the hair on your head. He knows your moments. You just need to rest. Just rest. You can't fix it anyways, right? You did everything you could. It didn't work. Just rest. Take that deep breath and just say, Jesus, you're mine and I'm yours. Figure this beast out. Amen? He's good. He loves you. Amen? Can you do me a favor? Can you find somebody that you don't know? You got to do this now. Find somebody you don't know and say, thank God you're part of the body of Christ. Go encourage someone this morning. Find them this morning. Go find somebody you don't know and say, thank God you're part of the body of Christ.
grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss.
I'm Pastor Aaron. Every year on October 31st, our children go out into unsafe neighborhoods searching for candy, only to get about 14 pieces and an old rotten apple. We here at His Kids want to put a stop to that. With your donation of 1 to 12 bags of candy, you can make a difference in the life of a local child. Bring in your candy to the His Kids desk so we can ensure that these children have enough candy to last them until Easter. Thank you.
Church family, I want to ask you this. Are you new to His Tabernacle? Perhaps you may not truly understand the full vision of the house. Maybe you've been attending for some time and you're not sure what you're called to do here. I want to give you the opportunity and the invitation to attend Growth Track. Yes, this is the opportunity for you for 4 weeks for you to come out and understand who we are, what we are, and why you are called here. We want you to be able to grow through Growth Track. So visit us on the website or check us out at the information booth for more info.
At His Tabernacle, we want you to grow. And we believe that teaching is a huge priority in every single believer's life. And so we provide classes called Next Steps. It ranges from step one all the way to step three. And we will meet you wherever you're at in your Christian walk. So if you'd like to find out more information about what your next step is, you can go out to the Info Center and get that, or go right online to histabernacle.com.
Homes and eat together and break bread together. And I just love that we see that here in this house today. We are so excited to have you in the house of God. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you are brilliant for being here this morning. Amen, amen. We would like to welcome our live stream family. We love you. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you are a guest in the house, we're going to ask you to raise your hand. We have guest hosts that want to give you a gift and a packet with some information. We have guests all through the house. We want to just make sure that you are aware of all the opportunities that we have here at His Tabernacle to get plugged in, build relationships, but most importantly, to know the Word of God, to be strong in your relationship with Him. Directly after service on this side of the building, we have a guest reception that we would love to have you come and participate with. It's an opportunity for many of the leaders, the staff, the pastors to meet you, to get to know who you are. We also have refreshments and coffee. So again, right over on this side of the building, directly after the service, we'd love to have an opportunity to meet you. We have some really great events coming up this month in the month of October. And we have a brand new opportunity for you called Celebrate Recovery. And God's plan for your life is that you would be free. The Bible says that he whom he has set free is free indeed. And he went about Jesus. He went about casting out devils and healing all sicknesses and all diseases. So his desire for your life is that you have abundance in every area, not just your ticket to heaven. So this is an opportunity for you to participate with other men and women that want wholeness in Jesus Christ. This is Tuesdays at 6:30. And if you would like more information, please see Pastor Kevin Jackson or Carolyn Jackson. They would love to get you set up with more information regarding that. Also, we have Encounter Weekend. This is an amazing opportunity on the 4th and 5th of October. Now listen, there are only 35 slots, so you need to pursue this with urgency if it's something that you feel led to do. If you're looking through breakthrough for some breakthrough in your life, or you are looking to meet some new people, or maybe you're just stuck in a rut, whatever it is, you want to take advantage of Encounter Weekend, the 4th and the 5th of October. Make sure, yes, it's not women's, it's for everyone. Everyone is invited, but there's only 35 slots, so there's a sense of urgency here. Make sure that you go to histabernacle.com to sign up, or go to the information booth right outside in the foyer. Then we have the Pastor Appreciation Banquet that is happening October 19th at 6 p.m. This is a game show red carpet theme, and it's a time to honor our senior pastors. It's $10 per person. I've been here for 21 years. And I was saying at first service, I have lots of stories, so if you want to know them, I'm happy to tell them. And so it's going to be really, really fun to, you know, just kind of rejoice in the work that our pastors have been doing throughout these years here at His Tabernacle. And their ministry did not even start here. So many, for Pastor Spencer, many, many, many long years of ministry. But I have seen them behind closed doors. I have seen them in front of you. Their heart is the same no matter where they are at. They love people, and they are addicted to the Word of God and to doing whatever it is that He asks them to do. So they are worthy of every celebration. So I would like to invite Pastor Cody up, who I also have lots of stories about, but I won't tell them.
In youth group, I used to go up behind her during worship and blow in her hair. She got so mad at me every time. It was great. I thought it was funny. Can you take the envelope that you're probably sitting on, or now it's underneath your chair? It's close to you somewhere. But we're going to go into a time of tithes and offerings. I know a lot of people turn their hearts off and their minds off when it starts to come to the money portion of a service. But in reality, God has a way for everything, doesn't he? He made a way for salvation, and we follow that way. He made a way for healing, we follow that way, for faith, for joy, for peace. He made a way for everything, and I believe he also made a way for our money. And I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. The next series Pastor's going to be preaching and teaching on is actually going to be on finances and what God says and how we use them properly so we can see a proper response in our lives. So that's coming up soon. But if you have your Bible, can you go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24? And it says this. It says, how could you worship two gods at the same time? You'll have to hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't worship the true God while enslaved to the God of money. Man, can I tell you, the God of money is probably the worst God we could ever serve. Man, you might work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and that money is gone almost as quick, actually faster than it was accumulated. People have gotten rich overnight, and they've become poor overnight. Money, it doesn't keep you warm at night. It doesn't give you true satisfaction. It's a God that cannot provide what we actually need in this life. Now, it's a good tool. Don't get me wrong. It's a great tool in the hands of a believer. But if it's in our heart, it's poisonous. See, I've seen a lot of people misquoting on Facebook and social media lately say, well, if money is the root of all evil, then why do people want it? Or if money is the root of all evil, then why does the church want it? Can I tell you, money is not the root of all evil at all. The love of money is the root of all evil. And when money takes a position in our heart that it's only God's position, then we start to act in evil ways. We'll stop at nothing. We'll go as far as we need to get what's ruling our heart. See, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Money itself is not evil. Our attitude towards money is what makes it good or bad, which makes it prosperous or it will damn us. And we believe in tithing here. Why? Because God teaches it clearly in His Word from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. And I believe that those who have an attitude of money that God has that lines up with the Bible will have the results that God wants in our finances. That's a spot for an amen right there. Amen? Amen? We'll get there. But I really believe that. Like, think about this. When we tithe, when we give, the Bible says that He will rebuke the devourer. What was coming to try to take what we earned, God is now going to put His hand up and say, stop. The Bible says it like this, that when we tithe, He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, meaning we'll be able to clearly see what the next step is, what we do next, and have proper direction financially from heaven. To me, man, I want to have direction from heaven in my finances, and I want God's hand of protection over that as well. Amen? Amen? So that tithe, that simple, measly, it's small when you think about it, 10% is so great in God's hand, showing, God, I trust You, I believe in You, my attitude, my heart is still aligned with You, and I know there's protection in my finances, and I know there's direction as I move forward. So this morning, I want to encourage you, be a giver. It's one of the smartest things you could do. Not for man, not for church, but for God. You're not giving this to a church. We're giving this to God. What we do in this house is we bring our offering to the front. If you have an envelope and you filled it out, that's great. If you have your phone and you give by text, I still want to encourage you to come up and give it as an offering to God, saying, no, freely I'm deciding to give. With an attitude that's submitted to You. Amen? What was that? Like, breathed in, my throat like attacked me. Wow. Be quiet. All right, can we stand to our feet? We're going to give our offering. There's a text to give number they're going to put up. And Isaac's going to come up and do the supernatural blessing because he's so good at it.
If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouses. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've trimmed me up because I'm a child of God. Say it with me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. All right, bring your tithes and offerings to the front now.
living the best life now. I've got the best life now.
Life, exceedingly light.
Would you guys feel badly if I colored it a little? I think I should keep it gray. Man, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm going to go sit down. Is this the way I'm supposed to be preaching now? Come on now. Isn't this God? Hallelujah.
Kind of tragic or anything?
Nah,
you just suck.
Like average.
You suck.
And your childhood, what was that like?
I mean, it was okay.
Failure.
Like, pretty normal.
A disappointment.
I mean, other than like the normal like sibling rivalry and stuff,
your
it was pretty.
Hates you.
Is pretty much the same as anyone's.
Okay, well, what's been going on in your thought life recently?
Well, I mean, I used to play, like, guitar and stuff, and, like, I used to love going for walks and hanging out with friends, and then...
You have no friends.
Now I don't really, like, I don't really want to anymore. Like, I'm really lazy. Like, just, I'd rather stay on, like, my bed and just, like, sit there, eat a bowl of brownies, and, like, watch TV. Because then, like, if I make plans with people, then I have to cancel. Because it's, like, what's more fun than, like, hanging out at home? Nothing.
You know what? Sounds like you have depression.
That's me.
Depression? What?
You know, it's okay. Depression is really common.
Really?
Everybody gets depression sometimes. Really, well, really.
I mean, as long as, like, what I'm experiencing has a name, I guess that's okay. Like, I feel great now.
No, you don't.
You know, you can try writing your feelings down. That's a good idea.
You'll probably just hate yourself more. I mean, there's nothing really to say. I mean, you suck.
Yeah, last time I tried writing my feelings down, I, like, just, like, thought about how much I really don't like myself, and it made it worse.
Okay, so why don't you try going for a walk? Maybe a little exercise could help you.
You are way too lazy to get out of bed. I don't think you could do that.
You know, I just don't know if I have the strength. I barely have the strength to, like, walk to the fridge to grab another donut.
Week.
What about art? You know, you could, like, draw or paint your feelings. It might help get some of it out for you.
The last time that someone painted a portrait of you, it was your ex, so I'll probably just make you cry again.
Yeah, see, every time I try to draw, it reminds me of my ex and how we used to be so happy that she left me for my brother.
Loser.
So, we're gonna say no to the art.
Okay.
No art.
All right. Well, in that case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to prescribe you Glopinuconol.
Glopinuconol?
It's been on the market for about 3 days, and it's been shown to have a lot of effects.
Effects?
Yeah, many effects. So let's see. You can't take it with water, milk, juice, tea, coffee, or any kind of liquids. There have been reports of people seeing hallucinations of giant bunnies trying to eat them.
Oh. That sounds...
You may experience symptoms like hair loss, tooth decay, weight gain, and loss at the same time. Oh, and if depression gets worse, you might become suicidal. So, I do have some other medications I can use to offset those effects.
Yeah.
What a...
Medications really only just kept me here and made it worse. But you know what? Maybe it'll work this time. It might work this time.
What about
time.
Some other? Maybe there's a different medication that doesn't make me get fat and skinny and lose hair.
Well, there's this drug called Zermethplum.
Zermethplum,
yes. But you might fall asleep at the wheel. Oh. But you won't be sad.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I'm probably going to go with the first one, Galoop.
Okay.
Okay, that one sounds really great.
Little do they know, you can't medicate a demon to leave. Unfortunately, as long as they try to medicate me, I'm going to stay here.
Well, it's been a great session. I guess we'll see you next time.
Yep, next week. I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You suck. Thank you.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of the couch stand. That's all I know. We want to welcome you to Friend Day, and you're saying, oh, my goodness, I don't know. I want you to know that here at His Tabernacle, one of the greatest things that you can do is be a friend of God. Being a friend of God means that you and I get to participate with His life. You know, a lot of people have the concept of religion in church, but that's not God's concept at all. God's concept is family. God's concept is relationship. God's concept is health. Turn to someone and say, God wants you healthy. Not just in the aspect of healthy in your physical body, but God wants you healthy in your mind. Turn to someone and say, amen.
Amen.
I want you to say this out loud with me. God never wants me depressed. Say this out loud. Depression is never from God. Come on, say it again. Tell somebody next to you. Depression is never from God. You see, God wants you healthy, not only in your spirit, which is where God abides, not only in your physical body, which is the outward manifestation of man, but God wants you healthy in your mind. And that's where the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for the spirit of the Lord is on us, yet God says, I did not give you, turn to someone and say, God didn't give it to you. I did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So what did God give? God gave you a sound mind. So why are we struggling in the believer's world, not just in the world, it's worse in the world, but even in the church world, we're dealing with strong bouts of depression with the body of Christ. Why is depression so prevalent in the church world? I just want to address that because I think it's necessary. 2 weeks ago, we started on this series, and we covered the one reason. There are three main reasons for depression in the body of Christ. Number one, you're going to find that it is simply because of medical. There are medical reasons that people are depressed. We know that there are people that have chemical imbalances. We know that there are people that have thyroid issues. We know there are people that are not taking the right or receiving the right vitamins or minerals. All those are medical reasons for depression. But I want you to know whether it's medical or any other reason, I want you to hear me clearly. It is never God's will. And God will heal your mind. Can I hear an amen? If you need a physical healing in your mind, God will heal your mind. God is supernatural and wants to heal your head. Amen. Kabasa. Is it cabeza or kabasa? Kabasa is food, right? Cabeza. Thank you. That's Spanish. Survey says. Today I want to cover two other main reasons for depression in the body of Christ. And I want you to hear me clearly because they are truly the main. In fact, I believe without any question, reservation, after 32 years of ministry, this next one is the number one reason why I found people struggle with depression as believers.
that knowing that it's never God's will, knowing that God's desire is, and we talked about it, was there depression in the Garden of Eden? Was Jesus depressed? Is there depression in heaven? Then we know it's not God's will for your life. Not only that, what's very interesting to me is we pray that prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That means we're praying God's will. What's God's will? That's what God desires. That's what God wants. God, we're praying your will, what? On earth as it is in heaven. There is no depression in heaven. Therefore, God's will for your life is there's no depression in your life either. So we need to know this. You see, a lot of people are just accepting anything that comes down the trail and saying, well, I guess that's God. I want you to know this. If it's contrary to the scripture, it is never from God. If it does not line up with the word of the Lord, if it is not God's will in the scripture, it is never God's will to participate in your life. In fact, I believe that it's time to start getting aggressive. You got to start getting aggressive about the things that are coming into your life that are not from God. We are too passive as believers. We sit back and we allow just anything to happen. We blame God, we blame the world, or we just simply say, I guess that's just the way it is. I want you to know that if it's against the scripture, it's time for you to start being aggressive and start taking back and even kicking out those things that don't belong in your life. Sickness never belongs in your life. I said sickness never belongs in your life. Sin does not belong in your life. These things should never be tolerated in your life. And I want you to hear this. Depression should never be in your life. It is not God's will. It is not God's passion. It is not part of your package. God said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives every sin and he causes depression. Oh, it doesn't say that. Let me try to quote that one again. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives every sin and causes great depression to come into your life. Oh, you don't like that one either? What does the Bible say? The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives every sin and heals every disease. And I want you to hear me now. God's passion is for you to be healthy. Not just healthy in your spirit, but healthy in your soul. You are a trichotomous being. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. And I'm here to tell you today that as the enemy is striving to attack your soulish man, he wants you to surrender to its bidding. What happens when you do is you're going to get your eyes off of Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and you're going to look at this world system, this world's problems, and I want to tell you, prophesy to you what's going to happen. The moment you start getting overwhelmed by the world's process, depression is going to start entering your life. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how little money you have. I don't care if you drive a Ferrari or you drive yourself a Yugo. I don't care what you have or don't. It came from the right side of the tracks, the bad side of the tracks. It doesn't matter your color, your creed. It doesn't matter your country. What matters is simply this. Depression is going to try to get into every one of our lives. And we have to make a decision in our life that will never be allowed in my mind. I personally believe the number one reason in the body of Christ why we have people that struggle with depression is called stinking thinking. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, as a man thinks, so he is. The struggle that we have in the body of Christ is that the church is not being taught that you don't have the right, listen now, I'm going to hear me now, you don't have the right to think any way you want. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. So what happens to the body of believers is when they're not taught that when all of a sudden a true situation comes in your life that is very real and very valid, you allow your mind to run rampant and to think anything it wants to do. Well, last I knew, you've been bought with a price. Can I hear an amen? The last I knew, in him we live and move and have our being. The last I remember, it's God that works through us, not you having God do your little bit, your petty thing. You and I are to submit to God. When we submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from us. But what happens is this, when these problems come in our lives, all of a sudden we start meditating on our problems. Truthfully, human nature usually is not half full, it's usually half empty. Most people, when the trouble comes in their life, they're looking at the problem and seeing the magnitude of it rather than seeing the greatest opportunity that God has to bring a miracle to you. We've got to bring ourselves to the position that the true battlefield has very little to do with the devil. In fact, the Bible says the devil is already defeated. The Bible says that the warfare that we actually fight the good fight of faith. You don't have to fight the devil. He's defeated. You don't have to fight your problems. They're defeated. You don't have to fight the illness. It's already defeated. But the issue is that the fight of faith is everything. So the fight of faith is designated where we think. You see, this is the real battlefield in our lives, is our brain and how we think. You know, you've heard me talk about it before, about neuroplasticity. And that is the ability that God gave our brains. I love God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God gave us the ability in this process to literally reformat our brains. As a man thinks, so he is. When you start becoming a praiser, you'll find that your view changes. Because the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So the more you look unto Christ, the more you worship Christ, the less you see your problem. It's not that the problem simply disappears, but now you've instigated God to move supernaturally in that event. I want to remind you that we walk by faith and not by, come on now, we walk by faith and not by. So what happens is, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, start calling those things which are not as though they already are, it's not that it's not a serious scenario, but we're not staring at it. We're staring at the one who has the answer. You see, faith changes our world system, where worry does not change God. You cannot activate heaven without faith. And so what happens in our mind is that when trouble starts to come, when people are struggling with depression, it's usually because they start staring at the issue. The moment you start staring, you start having your mind run. You start meditating on it, and I can prove it to you. You lose sleep at night. When you wake up in the morning, it's your first thought. I want you to know, if you're waking up with anything in the morning besides Jesus Christ, a song in your spirit, then you're thinking wrong all day. Here we are as believers. We've got to make decisions. And this is the power of our life, is that God gave us free will. We have to make decisions to stay out of depression. We have to make decisions to not allow this stuff to attach itself to our lives. We're not taught that. Many people are just taught, well, you know, that's just the way you are. That's just your makeup. I'm telling you now, that's not your makeup. That when you were born again, you were changed from the inside out. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Well, that's just part of my generational. I'm telling you now, you got a new generation. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not the same person. You don't have to live the same way. You can be a generation breaker rather than a generation joiner. When people are struggling with depression and they're causing it themselves by how they meditate and how they think, then what happens is they're going to be absorbed in their own little world. They're going to be absorbed in their own little life, and they're going to create in neuroplasticity. They're going to create death within the way they think. And all of a sudden now, depression is going to grab hold of their life. Now, I'm not talking outside the church. I'm talking inside the church. There are many people inside the body of Christ that are struggling with depression, and you have been for many years. And some are on medication, and I'm not talking against medication. I believe anything that thwarts sickness is good, but I do believe this. Medication is a cover, but Christ is the healer. And at some point in time, you're going to need to be free, and free indeed. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I'm not telling you to get off your medication without your doctor. You need to talk to your doctor, but you need to get a Holy Ghost believing doctor. Can I hear an amen? You need a doctor that's born again that will believe God's word with you. Here we are as believers. We're struggling with depression because we allow our thoughts and our mind to run anywhere it wants to go. And we've got to make a decision. If as I think I am, as I am, I speak. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. as you speak, the Bible says our tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. The word of God says life and death are in the power of the tongue, and you shall eat the fruit thereof. Some of you don't like your life, and I'm telling you why. You've made a harvest that you don't want to participate with. You've allowed your thoughts to sit and to generate feelings and emotions, and then you start speaking them, and you're creating a harvest that you don't even want. Some of you got to make a decision. I don't want this harvest of depression. I don't want this harvest that's dealing with the struggle of my emotions. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to speak life to myself. I'm going to speak the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow. And I'm going to have success in my life because I'm going to declare God's word above my circumstances, and I'm not going to allow my thoughts to be stronger than God. Say amen. Amen. This is an issue in the body of Christ. We think that we can think any way we want. You gave up that right when you got born again. We must think the word of God or we're going to be like everybody else. And the problem is, why would they want the God you serve? The transition in the supernatural of you and I being believers is that God literally dwells inside of us. Turn to someone and say, I'm possessed. The Bible says you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. That literally, your spirit that was dead is now alive in Christ because you accepted him as your Savior. Now, literally, God dwells inside of you. I'm talking like this is reality. I'm not talking like this is just philosophy. I'm not saying this is church theology. I'm saying this is God's word, that literally the spirit of the living God dwells in you and the very personality of God himself is ready to erupt out of you. The Bible declares in the book of Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, the fruit or the personality of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All these characteristics of God are waiting to erupt out of your heart, out of your mind, and out of your thoughts if you'll arrest your feelings. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. We live so much by our feelings. Well, I feel, who cares what you feel? Amen. Well, I don't feel like that. I don't care what you feel like. Somebody said to me, well, I don't feel like going to church. You're stupid. Bible says, don't forsake the assembly of yourself as a matter of somebody's, especially in the last days. Well, you know, I just don't feel it. I don't care whether you feel it or not. I remember my kid telling me they didn't feel like they should make the bed. I don't care if you feel like making the bread. You don't like to make the bed. I don't care if you feel like I don't care if you feel like not taking out the garbage. It don't make a difference to me. I don't care about your feelings. Get the job done. Amen. But then we turn adult. My feelings were hurt. Who cares? Well, you know, I just feel wounded. Well, you know what? There are times you need healing. Jesus came to heal the broken heart. But at the same time, when you focus so much on your feelings, there's no way for restoration to happen in your life. And depression feeds off of your feelings. Depression feeds off of your thoughts. This is why the Bible says, take into captivity every thought and imagination that raises itself up above God. You see, anytime your thoughts are not conducive with the Word of God, anytime your thoughts are not parallel to the Word of God, your thoughts are out of control and need to be brought into subjection, need to be brought into an arrest mode. Therefore, it does not have the right to mandate how you feel. Amen. But when the body of Christ doesn't want to listen to this, then we struggle with bouts of depression because we allow our feelings to be stronger than the word of God. And when we do that, then we are on this roller coaster ride that is, listen now, it's unmerciful. 1 minute you're at the highest level of success, raising your hands and shouting unto God with the voice of triumph. Man, you could dance in your own living room. The power of God is in your life. And then all of a sudden that week something bad happens. Well, you know, where's God? My life is horrible. Your life is horrible. What do you mean by that? How many of you got a pillow? Not everybody's got a pillow. I said, how many of you got a pillow? How many of you want a pillow? We'll buy you a pillow. How many of you got here by vehicle? Amen. That's good. How many of you had gas to put in your vehicle? Amen. How many of you ate, or I should say, will eat today? Amen. Turn to someone and say, you don't even realize how blessed you are. Isn't it amazing that we look at our lives, well, you know, I'm struggling with my life. Well, I've got this problem and I've got that problem. Listen, everybody's got problems. Thank God you're not as bad as somebody else. You've got something to praise him for. But what happens is when we allow our thoughts to run rampant in our life, then it drives us to a position where we can only see our problem and we never see a solution. When we never see a solution, we lose hope. When we start losing hope, we become hopeless. Now, what's powerful is that hope has a direct connect with faith. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, that now faith is the evidence of things hope for. So where there is no hope, you have no faith to activate. So what happens with depression? It brings us to a place of hopelessness. And when there's no hope, you will not activate faith. So how can you walk by faith and not by sight? The enemy is desperately working to get you to a place where you are hopeless. He's desperately getting you to a place where you don't have passion for God anymore. And that happens when depression comes in your life. I want to remind you the very definition of depression. It means a mental state characterized by a pessimistic sense of inadequacy and a despondent lack of activity. Sad feelings of gloom and inadequacy. Symptoms: social withdrawal is common, aloneness, emotional sadness and frequent crying spells are common. Self-esteem and self-confidence are low. Loss of personality. They don't even smile or laugh anymore. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Oversensitivity emotionally. The desire to give up. The sense of not having anything worth anything in your life. These are signs of depression. And you and I need to recognize this is the enemy trying to get you to a position where you no longer will live in faith. And if you don't live in faith, then your very purpose is diminished. And if your purpose is diminished, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Before the foundations of the earth, God knew you. And when you don't stand in hope and in faith, then you cannot walk in destiny. If you don't walk in destiny, then why are you here? That's why the power of depression is so powerful. Because he knows, the enemy knows, well, we know the devil. John 10:10, the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. What's he trying to steal, kill, and destroy? He's trying to kill, destroy your faith. If he destroys your faith, he's killed everything else. But he's not going to attack your faith. He's going to attack your hope. And he can't attack your hope unless he brings you to a place where you are depressed. And the moment depression starts taking over, then that cycle is now flowing in your life. And now you are struggling to get out of bed. Now you are wondering why you're alive. Now you are wondering what your purpose is. Now you are wondering what good is life. This is usually caused by the way we think. How do you think? Here's a quick one for you. All of a sudden, a serious scenario comes into your life. What's your very first thought? Probably the better explanation, and prayerfully you've never had to experience this. You get in a car accident. What's the first words out of your mouth? Oh. Well, we pray it's, oh, Jesus. What's the first thought that comes to your mind when all of a sudden you're having trouble? All of this is where now we're able to identify our thinking process. Listen, I don't know about you, but it is literally a transformation. The Bible talks about it in the book of Romans chapter 12, that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind with the word of God, that we're to have our mind washed by the word of God. You see, this is why the enemy works so desperately, and why the church really is weak in this process, is because so many of the body of Christ now are on a three-week cycle to church. Now they very rarely read their Bible during the week, so the word is being extracted. If the word is being extracted, then they don't know the difference. I already quoted the verse, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the marrow. Trichotomy. So what happens is, when you and I are not in the word, we don't know the difference between our own emotions and God's word. So then we make decisions that are based on our emotional status. And then all of a sudden, we're in a spiral. Now we can't understand why we're getting depressed. Now we can't understand why we're losing hope. Now we can't understand why we're in the position we're in. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to have a passion again for God's Word. Why? Because it's the Word that brings life to us. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The Word of God is that living, quick, and powerful sword. It's time to get back to the Word so you can understand why you're feeling an emotion. We give so much power to our emotions. Well, what's up? I don't know. I just don't feel good. I don't care about your feelings. What? That's kind of mean, isn't it? No. You got to stop caring more about your feelings and care more about what the Word says. Well, that got quiet, didn't it? This is the issue. We have a lot of Christians, but we don't have a lot of believers. We have a lot that carry a tag, but don't use the Constitution. And so when real trouble comes our way, instead of the body of Christ saying, hey, listen, man, this looks impossible, now I rise in my spirit and I start to declare, there is nothing impossible with God. I start to declare, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God is for me, who can be against me? And I can call those things which are not as though they are. I can start walking by faith. I can start declaring faith. But if you don't know the word, then you are literally owned by your emotional status. There's no crueler place than being owned by your emotions. It is vicious. And you'll always find yourself, the enemy working to bring you to this place where now you're being controlled by every emotion. And now instead of staying on top like you always were, instead of laughing like you always did, instead of living in the joy of the Lord like is your promise, instead of having the peace of God that passes all understanding, those emotions are bringing you to a place where now you are starting to get depressed. Now you are starting to get alone. Listen, that's what the enemy always does, by the way, just to educate you. When you start feeling like you don't want to go to church anymore, just know that's the enemy working in your life. How do I know that? Because watch the wild kingdom. What do the lions always do? The devil's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What does he do? He cuts one off from the rest. Whenever the devil can get you alone, that's why depression is so powerful. He now can work on you with nobody else hindering. Now listen, I don't believe that every bit of depression is caused by a demon in any way, shape, or form. But I do believe they capitalize on it. And I do believe some of you have stepped into depression and now a spirit of depression has come on you. For the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, timidity, but of power, love, and a... That is your right. So when you're struggling with this depression thing because all you sit down is you think about all the problems that you have, when you start sitting down and thinking about how am I going to fix all the problems, when you sit down, listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned at times, but when concern turns to worry, you then disenable God from working in your life. For God is moved by faith, not by hope. Hope stimulates the direction, but faith activates heaven. So you've got to pay attention about the thoughts that are running through your brain. You can't allow yourself to think any way you want. You can't allow yourself to allow your thoughts to be any way they desire. If they don't comply to the word of God, you've got to take into captivity every thought and imagination that raises itself up against God. You've got to say to your brain, it's time for you to shut up because I'm going to get into the word of God. It's time for you to be quiet. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm not going to allow you to speak to me anymore. Well, you sound like you split personality. Oh, no, I'm not a split personality. But I want you to know, according to Romans chapter 8, your soul is the enemy of God. You cannot allow yourself to think any way you want. It will bring you to a place of hopelessness. It brings you to a position of depression. And you've got to stand up and you've got to start declaring the word of God over your scenario. You've got to start declaring God's truth over your situation. You are not controlled by your feelings. You are not controlled by your emotions. You're controlled by the word of God. You're controlled by the Spirit of God. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. I will not be controlled by my emotions. Are you out there this morning? So this stinking thinking thing is powerful. As your mind starts to run, then you get discouraged because all you can see is the problem. The longer you're in discouragement, it's called prolonged discouragement, which brings you into a place of depression. Hear me now. I don't believe that all depression is demonic. But I do believe the longer you're in depression, you'll see a demon arrive in your life. For the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear. There is a spirit, there is a demonic spirit of depression. The Bible says, don't give the devil a foothold. The longer you stay in depression, the more you're opening the door to the demonic spirit. Man, you've never been on a roller coaster until you've had a demon influencing your life.
Well, I don't believe in devils.
Listen, I love every kind of music. I really do. There's just one kind of music I struggle with. What is it called? Screamo. Has anybody ever heard Screamo? I'm not against Screamo because I got great friends in Screamo that are doing great ministry. But I personally can't listen to it. And the reason is because the very first demon I cast out of somebody, she was a small little girl, and the voice that came out of her was, you can say you don't believe in demons, but we'll send you to a third world country. You're going to believe real quick. I remember Prophet Peter used to tell me, while he'd be preaching, the witch doctors would be sitting there trying to cast spells on him, and he'd just bind them in the name of Jesus. I want you to realize that demons are real, and their whole job is simple. John 10:10, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And what they'll do is they'll steal, kill, and destroy your faith, your purpose, your life, and the very reason and essence for your being on this planet. That's what they're striving to do, and you've got to make a decision. I will not tolerate fear. I will not tolerate depression. I will not tolerate a spirit working in my life. And it's time for you to get intolerant. The longer you remain in depression, that spirit is going to arrive in your life. And when that spirit arrives in your life, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, don't give place to the devil. He despises you, and when you allow depression, now watch what depression does. Depression takes your eyes off of Jesus. Depression takes your eyes off the answer. Depression takes your eyes off hope. Depression takes your eyes off peace. Depression takes your eyes off love, for perfect love casts out all fear. And it puts your eyes on a situation that, yes, it is real, but with God, there's nothing that can't be done. And even if it's a mess, all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. God makes a great scrambled egg. The longer you remain in this posture, you're going to find a spirit come in your life. Honestly, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, Pastor, I don't want you to think I'm crazy, but I've been struggling with depression, and I just keep hearing, just end your life. I keep hearing, listen, no one's going to miss you anyways. Do you realize that if you kill yourself, that everybody will be relieved because no one really loves you anyways? If you end this, you'll bring peace to your life. Oh man, I heard somebody say that to me once. I didn't look at him and go, boy, that's a bad thought. I said, in the name of Jesus. Why? Because human nature is to protect your life. Man, I think one of the greatest examples of this is that guy that was out hiking. I saw this on TV many, many years ago. He was out hiking and he fell and he got caught. His arm got caught in between jagged rocks and he couldn't get it out. And there was no way out. He literally took a penknife and cut his arm off to be able to get out and survive. People by nature want to survive. Whenever you start hearing voices, whenever you start hearing thoughts about you not surviving, about you ending your life, about suicide, you'll always know there's a demonic spirit that is whispering in your ear, that is feeding off your hopelessness, and you gotta take an aggressive posture that in the name of Jesus, I declare your voice to be null and void. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You get out of my life. You have no place. Boy, you know, anybody tries to commit suicide, they're really far gone. Really? Come on now. We all know somebody that's died that way. Some of you have loved ones, I mean, that you desperately love, that committed suicide and it so shocked you and overwhelmed you. Where and why would they have done that? We've got to make a decision in our lives as believers that we are the people that they're looking to for hope. But yet if we're living in depression, we're living in this position where we're given an opportunity for the devil, then there's no way for us to bring hope to them. We've got to make a decision that I'm going to control my thoughts, that if it is a medical issue, I'm going to get prayer and I'm going to declare my miracle in Jesus' name. And I declare by the power of God that my mind's got to come into subjection and I take authority over thought and imagination that raises up against God. And if those thoughts come, I do not tolerate, I do not placate, I do not sit back and just satisfy, but I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus because it is a spirit trying to kill your life. It's concerning. This is real. I really, and I said it 2 weeks ago, I didn't realize how real it was in our church until Brother Teddy was here, and he said, if you struggle with depression, come up front, and half the congregation came up front. And I says, I guess I got to preach on that. How will they know unless somebody is sent? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. So unless you know that there's an answer, then when depression comes into your life, you just allow it to happen. But I'm here to tell you in the name of Jesus, I'm here to tell you that you have a supernatural answer. I'm here to tell you, you are not like everybody else in this world, but you are a son and daughter of the Most High God. And you dwelling inside of you is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering. There's nothing you cannot accomplish. There's nothing that you cannot do. And I don't care what your feelings say, you've got to start bringing them into captivity and start declaring, I walk by faith and not by sight. I refuse to be owned by my circumstances. I'm going to call those things which are not as though they already are. That's the difference between us and the world. The world don't have that. If you're not a believer, you don't have that. This is where we make a difference. But some of us need to make a difference in our own hearts. God is so passionate about this. He wrote a whole chapter on how to think. Philippians chapter 4. Here it starts. Ready? Verse 10. Think on these things. Then he wrote a whole other chapter in how to speak. James chapter 3. These are not small topics. And as the body of Christ, we've got to start really understanding how to make this work in our lives, because the enemy of our soul wants to disembark you from your destiny. He wants to disembark you from your purpose. He wants you to become null and void and without reason for being on the planet. But I'm here to tell you, you're an ambassador from another country. You're a son of God and a daughter of God. You've got a message in your soul for the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You've got a message that sets the captives free, and Jesus Christ has called you. He has anointed you, and that anointing abides within. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, and you have the power of God to cast out devils. You have the power of God to speak with new tongues. You have the power of God to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. You're not weak. You are strong. Well, you understand that. We walk different. We talk different. This is why the enemy works so desperately to bring you into depression through your situations. And you've got to make a decision. That's not my lot. I don't really care what my feelings are. What does the word say? I don't care what I'm thinking. What does the word say? I don't care what other people say to me. What does the word say? Because either God is true or he's a liar. And if he's a liar, let's go home. You're wasting your time and you're wasting my time and I'm wasting yours. This is not true. Stop playing the game. But if it's true, live it. And when you live it, the truth shall make you free. And when you live it, you will live in divine peace. You will live in divine health. You will live in divine prosperity. You will live in God's promises, yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away. You see, for me, I've just seen too much to doubt. I've seen too much to disbelieve. But that doesn't change the fact that I have the responsibility to make sure that my mind doesn't do whatever it desires. This is not a one-day fight. This is the rest of your life fight. Sometimes it's easier than others, but man, let me tell you, when it gets strong and intense in your life, you've got to apprehend quicker than you've ever apprehended, because the enemy is just waiting for that foothold. Suicide is so powerful. I want you to know that the voices you hear, the thoughts that come in your mind to take your own life, they're lies. I can prove it to you. John 8, 44. You are the father of the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He's talking to the religious people then. He was a murderer from the beginning. This is the character of Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And I want you to know that anytime you have that thought of suicide going through your brain, it is a demonic spirit trying to kill you. You're too dangerous not to bother. And you've got to make a decision that I refuse to bow to my emotions. Oh, Pastor, you're repeating yourself. Thank God I'm repeating myself. I'm almost done. Sadly, I've watched people who really loved God commit suicide. And I get people asking me, isn't it true that if you commit suicide, you go to hell? I want to say this. I don't know. But I will tell you this. I'm smart enough not to get around what I don't know. If you're not sure, why play that close to the line? Suicide is so evil. It steals your purpose from your own life. You were not born 1,000 years ago. You were born for right now in this season and in this time. God needs you right now. That's why you're breathing. When you commit suicide, you steal that. When you commit suicide, you do something to your family that is just honestly so cruel. No, listen to me. I'm talking to you. Talking from 32 years of experience, where I've watched families and I've had to go to their house when they found their loved one dead because they committed suicide. And I had to look at them and I see the hopelessness in their eyes. They sit back and they cannot understand. This is the demonic entity that demons will love to do. They bring you to a place where it makes no sense. It's cruel. That's why you've got to know that this is not an ever of God. Suicide stops the plan of God for your life. And honestly, it's just like an atom bomb that goes off. Just an atom bomb. Depression is never from God. Depression should never be allowed in your life. Depression is taking your eyes off of Jesus, and we've got to make a decision. And today, if you're struggling with depression, I know the supernatural God of heaven wants to make you free. I know that the supernatural God of heaven wants to get in your life. And if it's a medical thing, he wants to realign stuff. If it's a thinking thing, he wants to realign stuff. And if it's a demonic thing, as they said, you can't medicate off a devil. You got to cast him off. No matter what your cause is for depression, I'm here to tell you, can't allow it in your life. It's a decision. It is a decision. If it wasn't a decision, then God is cruel. Got to make a decision. It's not allowed in my life. And I will not tolerate depression. Listen, I've struggled with it. You can't be in ministry and not struggle with depression. Right now, 1,700 to 1,900 pastors leave the ministry every single month. That's the national statistic. Right now, 70% of all pastors are in depression in America. Some of them into the depths, and we've heard just recently, even no more than 3 weeks ago, a pastor who actually was an advocate against suicide committed suicide. An advocate against depression committed suicide after he had just done, listen now, he had just come from doing a funeral from a woman who had committed suicide. He came home and committed suicide. Pastors experience the same things you do. The decision is not whether you're a pastor or not. The decision is, are you going to let it stay? Are you going to allow the thoughts to ruminate? Are you going to allow the thoughts to culminate? Are you going to allow the voice to whisper in your ear? Or are you going to stand? And after you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. And this is why we have the body of Christ. We can find somebody in this church that will pray with us. They'll agree with us. They'll bind the devil with us. They'll stand firm with us. They'll encourage us. They'll build us. This is why we're here. This is why we're called a body. If one cries, they all cry. If one shouts, we all shout. We're a body. You're not all by yourself. There's somebody here that would love to pray with you. Carly, you don't even know it. Talked to somebody yesterday. And they just, every once in a while, get an email from you just saying, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. They told me yesterday. They said, she is just so encouraging. I think I'm going to get back to church. We need each other. Today, I don't know what your trouble is, but I know this. If you're struggling with depression, Jesus is your answer. If you're in depression, Christ can make you free. And if you're hearing those voices, I don't think you're crazy. Mm-mm. I don't think you're crazy at all. I've already gone long enough, so I might as well just keep going, right? I gave the example before, but it's so pertinent. I got a call one day from BSU unit that a lady from the church was there, and she was screaming for me to come. So I went to the BSU unit, and they had her strapped down. She was strapped down completely. And she actually was manifesting. And I looked at the doctors and I said, do you guys mind if I just, you know, I'm a spiritual pastor. Do you mind if I just take a few minutes with her? Because, you know, they see you do what you're going to do, you know. Hey. They left the room. And I looked at her and I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to come off her. She was not possessed. She was oppressed. Christians cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. That was an oppression. You saw that? That spirit was on that person? That's oppression. Possession is living inside. God will never share a house with a demon. Christians cannot be possessed. But I looked at her and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, spirit, to come off her right now. What she had been doing was trying to commit suicide. She had cut her arms all up. And immediately, you could see the change in her eyes. I said, now listen, when the doctors come in, don't tell them what I did. I said, just answer their questions, because she was sane again. They let her out like the next day. Couldn't understand what happened. Oh, I knew what happened. Because spirits are real. If you're struggling with that spirit this morning, I want you to know when you come up front, we're going to cast that thing off you, not in you, off you. And that thing, that demon will not have the right to whisper in your ear anymore. Amen? And when he does, this is all you do. In the name of Jesus, you lying devil, get away. You have no voice in my life. Bible says what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You don't mind that I give you answers, do you? I love this stuff because this is where the rubber meets the road every single day. I'd like you to bow your head with me this morning. Father, I thank you so much that you are the God of answers. That, Lord, it's not just walking on water, but, Lord, it's getting out of bed in the morning. Your word is so practical. Jesus, you are the most supernatural, practical man that ever walked on the planet. And today, God, we dealt with an issue that was real in our community and in your church. Jesus, I pray that I honored you with the words that you would speak to your church. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that you need Jesus. This is how you overcome the devil, is with Jesus Christ. Without Christ, he can do whatever he desires to you. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. I want you to see your purpose and destiny in clarity. I want you to know that God is for you and not against you. That if anything that is formed against you, God will not allow it to prosper. Is there anyone this morning that would like Jesus? Not going to wait long. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3. Thank you in the back, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Thank you, little man. That's all right. Little man right there, he wants Jesus. That's smart. Anybody else? Not going to wait long. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I know this is a heavy message, but that's why we have ice cream on the way out. I want to remind you that we don't call it ice cream in this church. We call it salad. That way it is healthy for you. Amen? Make sure you get some salad with some chocolate vegetables. Amen. And the cherry you know is good. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. Mindy, I'm going to have you come up on the 3rd step. When we dismiss, if you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to come see Mindy. If you need help, come on now. Don't be so proud. Don't be so proud you keep yourself alone. If you're struggling with depression, I want you to make your way to the front. These folks have been trained, and they've got the anointing of God to break every yoke of bondage, and Christ will make you free in Jesus' name. If you're struggling with depression, make sure you make your way up. We're going to pray for you. See, God set you free in the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Next week, I'm speaking on anxiety and panic attacks. I'm going to share my own story with you. Like I said, everybody goes through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil, for God is with me. Ready? Yea, though I walk. Some of you have camped. It's time to take down the tent and let's start walking through. Can I hear an amen? So if you know anybody struggling with anxiety, panic attacks, make sure they're here next week. We're going to see God make them free in Jesus' name. I love you. Enjoy. Come on now. Go enjoy the ice cream. The salad with the chocolate. Come on now. Enjoy yourself. We love you. Have an awesome day. Serve Jesus with all of your hearts.